Open up your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 12. Today we're going to be studying the go-to passage where Jesus talks about the church and how Jesus is the cornerstone of the church and our lives, just like we got done singing about today. And that we should build the church, of course, on that cornerstone, which again is Jesus. Remember, Peter is writing this. And part of me actually believes God puts this in his holy, inerrant, inspired, authoritative word because he knew that a certain Christian sect would take Jesus' words to Peter, who wrote this, of him being called a rock, and to take that out of context and make him into a pope, the first pope of what they believe, and then every other pope after him having way more authority and power than anyone on this earth could ever and should ever have, including the same type of authority and power that God's word has. And so we can say from Peter's own words, the first supposed pope, that it says that that's pretty much a bunch of poop. Like, seriously, emoji, poop, hashtag heresy. But, of course, that's for another sermon, another topic for another day. But let's get into it because this is going to be a really good one this morning. 1 Peter chapter 2, starting off with verse 4, God's word says this. As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. So the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. Now, a cornerstone is the important foundation in which that everything else can be built on top of. It's the large stone at the base of a building where two walls will meet. It's what is pointed to and one gives praise to for the rest of the building. And it's often what is pointed toward to when celebrating the end result. Outside of a building illustration, it is what countries, companies, politics, and other organizations will point to as the most important thing that everything else depends on. Going back to that building illustration, if one's cornerstone is sand, such as Jesus illustrates in Matthew chapter 7, or you can even say jello, or even slime. I don't know how many parents that are in here has an elementary or maybe even a middle school student, and it seems like for the last year or maybe even two, the latest obsession for them has been slime. My oldest daughter has a borderline obsession with slime right now, which for many parents is their nightmare. It stains the carpet, leaves a mess in the bathroom. My wife instilled a rule, no slime making in her room. And as much as we've tried to fight it, she tells us, Mom, Dad, you can't take it away from me because it's kind of my thing. Everyone knows me as the slime girl, which I would have never, ever thought that was a good thing. That's a positive self-esteem thing, being the slime girl. But she says that her friends tell her that it's, of course, really, really cool how good she is with making slime. And that's a positive thing, I guess. But if you use that as your cornerstone, the rest of the building and the structure obviously is not going to last. Like the sand, as Jesus illustrates in his parable, it won't hold. Everything else will fall apart, right? So that is the false idols in our life that becomes the cornerstone. That's other religions that make you try to work for your salvation and eternity. That is sin. That is false pleasures and saviors of this world that ends up crumbling and falling apart like a building built on a faulty cornerstone and foundation. But our cornerstone, Jesus Christ, a cornerstone, as Peter says, chosen and precious, where whoever believes in him, they will not be put to shame. It's because Jesus will not let everything fall apart when he is that cornerstone. He won't feel that type, we will not feel that type of shame, because even if the world is falling apart, our lives won't. We have a sturdy rock to hold us up still. It's true. I've seen it in many, many Christians' lives where anyone else would have given up hope, but their foundation in Christ was solid, and therefore they did not. Verse 7 says, so the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, and quick note on that, it's interesting how the Jews at that time who did not believe, who rejected Jesus, what could be their cornerstone. It says the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. It became offensive to them, much like the current culture that we live in. They stumble because they disobey the word as they were destined to do. This means that to a certain extent that the Jews were intended to reject Jesus as that promised Messiah, Savior, our cornerstone, our true purpose in life. Why? To show us how they stumbled, how they were tripped up by the obvious signs that Jesus wasn't who he said he was, who they hoped for and needed, because it says they disobeyed the word. That's what that verse says. Just like many today, why is Jesus not the answer for many people? Why do they reject him? Why is he not the cornerstone of what could be such a fulfilling, freeing, joyful life that can be built on that? Because, like the Jews at that time, they disobey his word. Like the Jews who added to it, who made it about rules and tradition, while ignoring God's grace and love, we choose to disobey what he says to us in his word. And listen, if that is you right now, I beg, I plead that you don't make the same mistakes as they did at that time. Do not reject what can finally give you stability and purpose in your life, what you were created for, and the second chance you can receive when finally making him your purpose in life, receiving Christ as Savior and being able to build up on that with the life you were destined to have, and which I'll be sharing about in a bit with the church around you. Because you, church, you, Center Point Church West Campus, you are the living stones that Peter is talking about, that is now being built up as a spiritual family. After receiving that cornerstone and foundation, something must be built on top of that. And that is why what we are starting today, the In and Out 2019 campaign, is happening. Some of you probably thought that this was my cheesy way to get you all to finally try really good In and Out burger animal sauce without flying to the West Coast. Nope. Sorry. It's really to cast vision on how we can grow inward, how we can build upward, as Peter talks about in verse 5 right here, so that you can eventually go outward, as verse 9 says, and we will cover in a little bit. In fact, most of what I'll go over about this, it's actually in this pamphlet, which you will get inside this bag a little bit later. But for first, let me share with you how we as a church, especially over the year of 2019, can grow inward. Because as verse 5 says, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. How can we do that more than any time before? How can we grow inward to eventually go outward? I'll share five things about that, but five ways we can grow inward as a church and some personal steps we can take. Number one, in connect groups and discipleship. This year, we have made connect groups a strategic objective to help grow the number one program in our church that provides biblical community. We have a goal to get more new attenders involved and for each person to experience true fellowship as they learn how to apply God's word to their lives, pray for each other, and bear each other's burdens. Another way we do this is, of course, through discipleship. Around 63% of our church campus is either being discipled by someone or discipling someone else. Many people who visit CPC make it their church home because of this focus. It is our hope for everyone who desires a discipleship relationship to not only be in one, but to be discipling someone in the near future. To accomplish this, we need more people to take steps in these areas. This would include continued facilitation through connect groups and people on their own taking initiative to find out if others want to be discipled. I know it's awkward. I know it gets messy. I know it's not going to be ideal, but I cannot do it by myself. I want to lead in this. I want you to feel free and comfortable to come to me, and I want to help you. But I need, and we need, more leaders stepping up, finding out on their own who needs to be discipled, if they can disciple, if they can make some sacrifices to disciple more, if you are willing to be discipled, to let us know that. So a couple questions, and I'll ask a couple questions with each one of these. Over 2019, have you taken the next step in joining a connect group? We just started that a few weeks ago. Will you commit to weekly attendance in connect groups? Have you taken the next step in discipleship for your life? And in 2019, do you need to be discipled? Do you need to be discipling? Number two, Sunday mornings. Sunday morning is where our church experiences life change the most as we gather as one body to grow and the teaching of God's word, and we scatter on mission to the homes, to the schools, and jobs that God has sent us to. This past year, we had our highest average attendance in our five-year history, but our goal is to be averaging over 175 in worship attendance by the end of 2019. We want Sunday mornings to be a time that families and individuals prioritize with increased consistency, along with some big special days to help that average number. Along with the expectations of that numerical growth, our worship service will continue to grow in excellence. And over this year, we will study the book of 1 Peter, learn about our identity in Christ, break down some of Jesus's most famous parables, along with some other life-changing topics. And with all that will be happening, you can only imagine the type of, again, continued life change that will take place on Sunday mornings. And we do believe this is a very big and important year, with other next steps that we are going to be taking with our campus, with our future. We need to grow in numbers, and that includes on Sunday morning. Will you make Sunday morning worship a priority for you and your family in 2019? Will you prepare your hearts to worship and to obey what God says through His word? The third step in this area to grow inward is in welcoming first impressions. Sunday morning is not just a time of life-changing growth for Jesus's church, but it is a first impression of Jesus's people for those who visit. We are committed to taking big steps in this area over 2019. This includes organizing and growing our welcome team and developing key volunteer leaders to help our church grow in hospitality. However, this also includes every person in our church taking ownership to meet new guests before church, during meet and greet, and after the service. This is your church. This is not my church. This is not a pastor or the staff's church or the leaders. This is our church, and you play a vital role in each and every guest feeling welcome and even coming back. And sometimes that's just a simple greeting or an invitation to lunch. Will you consider serving with our welcome team? Wherever you serve, will you make an effort in getting to know new people at church on Sunday morning and after the service ends? To grow inward, we must take big steps in this area. 4, student ministry. In 2018, we started our own student connect group on the west side of Lexington on Wednesday evenings, doubling our student attendance and making it convenient for parents to attend their west side connect groups and our kids point on this side of town. This year, we will be pursuing someone to lead this important ministry under my leadership and looking to grow our students in discipleship while reaching lost teenagers and their families. As a student family, will you continue to make our student ministry a priority in attendance and outreach? Will you pray for our leadership and ask God how you can help with this important ministry? 5th and last of all, we know we can be able to grow inward more this year than any other year if we focus on our own personal spiritual lives. Personally, we want 2019 to be the year where individually our church members will practice the spiritual disciplines, many that we covered and that many that you committed to in the month of January, and that you will participate in family discipleship and you will take true ownership of your faith. There will be an added emphasis for personal accountability and spiritual disciplines within connect groups and discipleships. And we will focus on taking personal steps more than ever on Sunday morning. And we want to grow internally to match what we believe God is doing and will continue to do externally with our church. It is very dangerous for us to grow wider and not do the best that we can to continue to grow deeper. And we need to go outward, as I'm going to talk about in just a moment. But we must grow inward to keep up with that outward growth. He calls us as a holy royal priesthood. But there's a few other names and identities that Peter gives us as the church. And so you can see, starting off with verse 9 of 1 Peter 2, God's word says, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation." A couple things about these verses before I talk about steps we can take to grow outward. First, as Christians, we are different than the world. We see that in verse 9, part A, "You're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession." Verse 11, "Beloved, I urge you as sojourners, exiles, to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul." How are we different? Well, just in some of those names and our identity. We're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession. Sojourners, exiles, not just physically, but spiritually. And every time I read those last two, I'm reminded that when I first kind of was involved in preaching and teaching in student ministry, I used to read and use and teach from the NIV before the ESV came out. And I think that version, one version I remember, says aliens. And I remember a new lost kind of, a new Christian that came from a very lost, dysfunctional kind of world and situation before becoming a Christian. And he got really tripped up when he read that. I was like, oh man, I knew it. Aliens are real. They're in the Bible, Area 51, man. And I just remember thinking in my head, oh man, all right, where's the Greek lexicon? Let me explain this word a little bit. But anyways, we are different than the world. We're set apart for God's purposes, his holiness and consecration from the world. Why? because the gospel changes our world, our worldview, and our lives. How are we different than the world in issues of today? Well, just briefly, just remember, there are going to be certain issues in the world, certain things that we can be able to have an open hand and a closed hand with. Doctrine issues, where when they are open-handed issues, we can be able to agree to disagree. We can be able to have convictions for and by conscience believe something that may be a little bit more gray in the Bible. But then there are also closed-hand issues. Doctrine, especially of foundational beliefs of the Christian Orthodox, that the Bible is God's word, that he is one in three persons, we're sinners, that Jesus died on the cross, key gospel elements that we need to hold with a closed hand. And if you don't believe in it, it is heretical, it is heresy. And so know and remember that there are certain, again, issues and doctrine that we are going to be different in, and we need to make sure we know which ones are closed hand and open hand issues. But in cultural items of the day, we are going to be strange and exiles concerning cultural topics of creation and abortion, when it comes to gender and homosexuality, when it comes to marriage and family and our values in that. When it comes to sexual morality and sexual ethics, when it comes to racism, we will look different in a lot of those areas. But how do we share Jesus to those who we are and do look different and maybe feel divided because of it? Well, number two, we must, according to this text, develop and live out biblical convictions. Verses 11 and 12. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners, exiles, to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Verse 12, keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. It's interesting that he starts off with loved one. Remember, this is said out of love as sojourners and exiles, those who will feel and know that you are countercultural, exiled from what the world does, believes, and lives. You are to keep away from certain sins that is universally and obviously wrong. And for some, it's going to be convictional sin for only you and your conscience. But either one will wage war on your soul. And listen, church, you cannot share Jesus with others. You cannot be a witness or even grow, as we talked about growing inward a moment ago. You cannot do that when your soul is at war. So you must develop and live out certain biblical convictions. And you must, as verse 12 says, live a life that is honorable amongst lost people. Let them hate you for what you believe in the gospel, not for what you say or you do as a hypocrite, because they will call you evil, which is ironic. Remember, when Peter wrote this, they were called evildoers, accused of cannibalism, of incest, because they called each other brothers and sisters, but then got married to each other. They were known and accused of being evil for inciting riots when going against the empire's economic and social progress, for practicing atheism because they didn't worship the many gods, the many Roman gods that they had. But in the end, that so-called evil witness turned into the right witness. Because remember, Rome fell, but Jesus is still alive. And he's still saving. And part of that is because of that honorable, winsome, gracious, and noble conduct that Peter's talking about here with the lost. Because if your witness and convictions align with your beliefs, your Christian faith, then they will, many will, as verse 12 says, see the good you're doing, you're standing up for, and will even be open to the gospel. It says, verse 12, even get saved and glorify God later. Not because they see and believe that they have to do good things, but because those good works and that witness amongst them can and will lead to a receiving of the gospel message that was proclaimed, that was verbally shared and heard. Maybe it was a seed from the past or after. But they will be more open to that gospel message, and some will even get saved because of you, of us developing and living out those biblical convictions. Number three, we must show compassion. Verse 10, I love this. This is my favorite verse out of all these verses. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Just like those who are lost around you that God has sent you to. Remember that at one time, you were just as lost as the people maybe that you were sent to. Maybe you have a hard time befriending and trying to help those people that you should be inviting to church. Because whether you got saved at 5 or 55, you must remember you were once not a people, that you at one time did not have a pardon from God's wrath. Remember, mercy is the withholding of a just condemnation, and you had that same condemnation before. But God, who showed great compassion on you when you realized and received that gospel message, when finding out that out of God's great love, he sent his son Jesus to take the penalty you deserve on the cross, that rose from the grave, that through repentance and saving faith, you became God's people and you received his grace and mercy. And now you are to show that same compassion and mercy to others, just like God showed to you. Remember, Ephesians 5:32 says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God and Christ forgave you. Number four, and last of all, courageously go with the gospel. Verse 9, and this will kick off with what I want to cast vision for and taking steps to go outward with that gospel message. Verse 9 of 1 Peter 2, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. That gospel message, the gospel will change these things with those that you are being a convictional, compassionate witness to better than our arguments and debates. That convictional and compassionate gospel witness will attract people. God will use it. I promise, because God promises, and his word will not return back void. Some of you feel like you need to be Jesus's PR. And listen, just like I said, our witness is important. Just like Peter said, our conduct amongst those who are lost is important. But listen, Jesus doesn't need PR. Kind of like Nike right now needs some good PR after that Zion Williamson shoe fail on Wednesday night. I mean, Twitter had NBA players slamming them. Puma said it wouldn't happen if he was wearing their shoes. And Buffalo Wild Wings even offered to buy Nike a beer after that fiasco. Nike needs some good PR right now. But guess what? Jesus doesn't. Why? Because we have the gospel. All we have to do is proclaim it, because it has the power to call those out of darkness into his marvelous light. But we must go with it. Go proclaim. Go invite. Go share. It's not just growing inward. It's just as much, and maybe even more, going outward to show those that we are sent to, who called us out of the darkness and into his marvelous light. That's why in this campaign for this year of 2019, we want to grow inward, but we want to take big, big steps to go outward. And we believe that we are to do this in five big important ways this year. Number one, thinking and living as missionaries. One of our core values as a church is lifestyle evangelism. Many of our members are well-versed and prepared to share through mission trips and evangelism training, which we do have tonight, and other useful methods to share the gospel. But what if we started sharing the gospel with one's personal idols, felt needs, and the culture around them in mind? What if we built relationships with the people that we regularly see at our local coffee shops and the grocery store and other places that we often visit, that's in the regular rhythm of our life, and we invited them to church and started sharing the gospel with them, with those intentional relationships and visits in mind? This year, we want to start to create a culture within this church of thinking and living as missionaries to the people and places to which God has sent us to on the west side of Lexington. We will do this by offering multiple meetings, programs, and events to help equip our church in missionary evangelism. This includes evangelism training, the multipliers group, ministry team meetings that we have, parents meetings, mission trip trainings, and other programs that you'll hear about throughout the year. Do you think and live as a missionary to the people and places around you? Will you commit to start learning how to do this? This year, will you take steps to be more prepared than ever before in sharing your faith? Number two, by inviting. We need to recreate a culture of inviting those around us to the church that so many of us dearly love. We will be utilizing big special Sundays along with social media and invite cards and door hangers and an increased accountability and prayer for specific people that we are inviting. In fact, why do you love our church? I know many of you love our church. And many of you love it because of the community our church offers, because the passion that we have for the mission. Maybe you love it because of kids ministry. Whatever your reason is, these resources are meant to be used as tools for others to experience what you love, what you receive, what you are so proud about with CPC West. Remember, as Peter, as God says, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession. And because of that, because you've received those benefits, because you love your church and you love the God that made you his own, that will never leave you, that will forever protect, provide, and lead you, that you may now proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And you can go and do that and offer that, and others can receive that by just inviting them. Will you pray for people you want to invite to church over this year? Will you commit to using social media and the other resources that provided to invite people around you to church? Will you prioritize big, special Sundays with those invitations? Number three, our Love Your Neighbor Kids Ministry campaign. This year, our kids ministry will focus on ways for families to live on mission and to love their neighbor. Each month, there will be a fun challenge to help our kids do that while taking steps to becoming a true disciple of Christ. Kids will have more scripture memorization, big Sundays to invite their friends, and family fun activities that your kids will enjoy, such as random acts of kindness and egg your neighbor extravaganza. And we will be asking parents to support this kids ministry initiative, knowing that Jesus refers to this as his second greatest commandment. Let me ask, parents, will you encourage and celebrate your children as they learn how to love their neighbors? Will you lead them by example in your personal life? Number four, our Garden Springs community and this very school that we meet in. If our church, and I know you've heard this before, but it's a good question. It's a convicting question. If our church disappeared from the Garden Springs community and this school that we meet in, where God has sent us to, would they even notice? Would they even care? This question should haunt us to a certain extent, especially after being here for over 5 years. And at the same time, God has opened up doors, wider, bigger doors, to reach this school and the local neighborhood more than ever before. We will continue to serve the school and their families with our Thanksgiving outreach and A Christmas to Remember, but additionally, God has given us an opportunity this April to host an outside movie night for this school during our community month. This outreach will include a family-friendly movie for families to watch, and we will be able to provide a festival-type atmosphere with games and popcorn and et cetera beforehand. And we want to continue to look for new ways to reach the community that God has sent us to be servants to this school. But that starts even with not a bigger opportunity than this April for our service project in Community Month. Will you calendar this service event during April Community Month? Will you pray for God to use it as a connector to families in our church? Will you help surface or participate in opportunities to serve this community? Last of all, we want our connect groups to be on mission. God has greatly used connect groups in our church for biblical community, for building relationships, praying for each other, and the application of God's word from Sunday mornings. However, we believe God can use these small groups for his mission as well. We are asking every connect group to live on mission to reach 2 to 3 family units in a semester, to make that a goal for each semester, to use the resources provided, to pray for the people that you're trying to reach, to hold each other accountable in your connect group. And if every connect group reaches 3 family units a semester, then we can realistically reach 50 people a semester. How crazy is that? If we do this, we will reach at the very least, if every connect group did that and they just reached one, let's say, college student, that would be 18 new people per semester. Let's say that that is 2 or 3 families of 5. That's going to be 180. I don't even know what we're going to do then. But we believe that God can and will use, as much as he used connect groups for, again, fellowship and community, for each other bearing each other's burdens, we believe he wants to use them to go outward for accountability and mission with those goals that those connect group leaders will be leading out in. Beyond community and fellowship, will you allow God to use connect group for accountability and mission? Will you intentionally help others in your connect group reach more people, and will you pray for them? And remember, none of this matters. Those 5 steps in growing inward and going outward will not matter unless Jesus Christ alone is our God, Savior, foundation, and cornerstone. And if you're out there and you don't have that first, while we sing about that, you can ask him to come into your heart and life and be that. Because none of these other things matter unless he is first that rock to have your life and eventually eternity based on. But I know many of you guys love Jesus. He is your cornerstone. You know he is the foundation of our church. And this year, as Christ as our foundation, we want to take steps to grow inward, to go outward more than any time before. Because God has some exciting things in store for us in the future. But this year is pivotal for some of those things to happen, for us to grow deeper, to go outward and wider.